Greetings and welcome to another episode. Today I am dealing with a back to school cold, so let's not waste our buckshot time.
A college student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst may have just shaken the foundations of physics, literally. In what started as a routine lab experiment, graduate student Anthony Rake mixed oil and water with magnetized nickel particles, expecting the usual emulsification process. Instead, he witnessed something that defied explanation. The liquids refused to blend and instead formed a stable, curved shape resembling a Grecian urn. No matter how hard or how often the mixture was shaken, it returned to this shape. This behavior contradicts what we understand about the laws of thermodynamics, particularly how energy and entropy govern the mixing of substances. This matters because the laws of thermodynamics are among the most fundamental principles in science. They govern everything from engines and refrigerators to biological systems and the universe itself. To find a phenomenon that doesn't obey these laws is like discovering a crack in the foundation of a building we thought was indestructible. It doesn't mean the laws are wrong, but it suggests there are exceptions or conditions under which they behave differently than expected. That's a big deal, not just for physicists, but for anyone who relies on science to understand the world. Listeners should know this because it's a reminder that science is not static. It evolves. What we consider laws are really models, powerful, predictive, but not infallible. This discovery could lead to new materials, new technologies, and new ways of manipulating fluids using magnetism. Imagine industrial processes that use magnetic fields to control mixtures without mechanical agitation, or medical applications where targeted delivery of drugs relies on magnetically guided fluids. These ideas are speculative now, but breakthroughs often begin with anomalies like this. This could also change society by inspiring a new wave of curiosity and innovation. When a student stumbles upon something that seasoned professors can't explain, it sends a powerful message. Discovery isn't reserved for the elite. It's accessible to anyone willing to ask questions and follow the evidence. That democratizes science. It encourages young people to pursue research, to challenge assumptions, and to see experimentation not as a chore, but as a frontier. Another important point is the collaborative nature of this breakthrough. Rake didn't keep the mystery to himself. He walked the halls, asked questions, and eventually teamed up with senior researchers and scientists from other universities to investigate further. That's how science should work: open, curious, and communal. The result was a paper published in Nature Physics, documenting a never-before-seen behavior in soft matter physics. In the end, this story isn't just about breaking a law. It's about expanding our understanding of what's possible. It's about the beauty of unexpected results and the importance of keeping an open mind. Whether this leads to new technologies or simply reshapes how we teach thermodynamics, it's a milestone worth celebrating. And it all started with a student, a question, and a strange little urn-shaped liquid.
Nice. Let's keep it going.
Imagine waking up after 20 years of darkness and seeing the skyline of your hometown for the first time. That's not a metaphor. It's the reality for Brent Chapman, a 34-year-old man from North Vancouver who regained his sight through a procedure that sounds like it was ripped straight from a sci-fi novel: tooth and eye surgery. This story isn't just about one man's miraculous recovery. It's about the extraordinary intersection of human resilience and medical innovation, and why we should all be paying attention. Chapman lost his vision at age 13 due to a rare and devastating reaction to ibuprofen called Stevens-Johnson syndrome. Over the next two decades, he endured nearly 50 surgeries, including multiple corneal transplants, all of which failed. But thanks to a rare procedure called osteoodontokeratoprosthesis, where a tooth is used to anchor an optical lens inside the eye, he can now see again. The idea of using a tooth to restore vision might sound bizarre, but it works because the body is less likely to reject its own tissue. The tooth acts as a durable, living frame for the lens, allowing light to enter the eye and restore sight. Why should you care? Because this isn't just a medical curiosity. It's a glimpse into the future of personalized medicine. Procedures like this challenge our assumptions about what's possible. They show that even the most unconventional ideas, when backed by science and compassion, can transform lives. For people who have exhausted traditional treatments, this offers hope where none existed. And for the rest of us, it's a reminder that innovation often comes from thinking outside the box, sometimes way outside. This could change society in profound ways. Imagine a world where blindness caused by corneal damage is no longer permanent, where people who've lived in darkness for decades can suddenly rejoin the visual world. That's not just life-changing for the individual. It's transformative for families, communities, and healthcare systems. It shifts the narrative from managing disability to restoring ability. And it opens the door to further exploration of bio-integrated technologies, where our own bodies become part of the solution. There's also an emotional dimension that shouldn't be overlooked. Chapman described the moment he made eye contact with his doctor as euphoric. After 20 years of navigating the world by touch and sound, he could finally see faces, landscapes, and light. That kind of emotional restoration is just as powerful as the physical one. It's a reminder of how deeply intertwined our senses are with our identity and our experience of the world. Listeners should also know that this procedure is rare and complex. It's only performed by a handful of specialists worldwide and requires months of preparation. But thanks to pioneers like Dr. Greg Maloney, who brought the technique to Canada, it's becoming more accessible. The surgery isn't a cure-all. It's reserved for cases where other treatments have failed. But its success could inspire similar breakthroughs in other areas of medicine. In the end, this story is about more than just a man who can see again. It's about the power of persistence, the brilliance of medical science, and the boundless potential of human ingenuity. It's a call to embrace the weird, the wonderful, and the wildly imaginative, because sometimes that's where the miracles happen.
Okay, seeing through your teeth. Well, I mean, you could kind of... All right, Tom, let's the plants.
We've been conditioned to think of weeds as nuisances, something to be yanked out, sprayed down, or avoided. But what if those scrappy little plants growing in your backyard were actually nutritional powerhouses? That's the message from foraging experts and ethnobotanists who are urging people to rethink their relationship with wild plants. The article highlights how many so-called weeds, like purslane, dandelion, lamb's quarters, and chickweed, are not only edible but packed with vitamins, minerals, and flavor. This isn't just a quirky lifestyle tip. It's a quiet revolution in how we view food, health, and sustainability. The reason you should know this is simple. We're surrounded by free, nutritious food, and most of us don't even realize it. In a time when food insecurity is rising and grocery prices are climbing, the idea that your backyard could offer a salad rich in omega-3s, iron, and antioxidants is powerful. These plants grow without cultivation, pesticides, or irrigation. They're resilient, abundant, and often more nutritious than the produce we buy at the store. Purslane, for example, has more omega-3 fatty acids than some fish. Dandelion greens are loaded with vitamin A and calcium. These aren't survival foods. There's superfoods hiding in plain sight. This knowledge can help listeners and their communities in tangible ways. Imagine teaching kids to identify edible plants in their neighborhood or hosting workshops on urban foraging. It's a way to reconnect with nature, reduce dependence on industrial agriculture, and promote health through diversity in diet. For people living in food deserts or with limited access to fresh produce, this could be life-changing. It's also an invitation to slow down and observe the world around us. When we start seeing weeds as food, we begin to appreciate ecosystems differently. We stop waging war on our lawns and start cultivating curiosity. On a societal level, embracing edible weeds could shift how we think about land use, food systems, and environmental stewardship. Instead of monoculture lawns and ornamental gardens, we could encourage wild patches that support biodiversity and provide nourishment. It challenges the aesthetic norms that prioritize trim grass over ecological function. It also democratizes food, no longer something you have to buy, but something you can learn to find and harvest responsibly. This could lead to more resilient communities, especially in times of crisis or supply chain disruption. Listeners should also know that foraging comes with responsibility. Not all wild plants are safe to eat, and proper identification is crucial. There are toxic lookalikes, and some areas may be contaminated with pesticides or pollutants. Learning from experts, using field guides, and starting small are key. But the learning curve is worth it. It's not just about eating differently, it's about seeing differently. Once you start recognizing edible plants, your walks become treasure hunts, your yard becomes a pantry, and your relationship with nature deepens. In the end, this isn't just a story about weeds. It's a story about reclaiming knowledge, reconnecting with the land, and reimagining what food can be. It's about flavor, nutrition, and empowerment. And it's a reminder that sometimes the most valuable things are the ones we've been taught to ignore.
Nice. Here we go.
On September 14th, 2015, something extraordinary happened. Something that not only confirmed a century-old prediction by Albert Einstein, but also opened a brand new window into the universe. Scientists at LIGO, the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, detected gravitational waves for the first time. These ripples in the fabric of space-time were caused by two black holes colliding over a billion light years away. That moment marked a seismic shift in how we understand the cosmos, and it's a story everyone should know. This discovery matters because it's not just a validation of Einstein's general theory of relativity. It's a leap into a new era of astronomy. Until then, we had only been able to observe the universe through light. Visible light, radio waves, X-rays. But gravitational waves are different. They don't get blocked or scattered. They carry information straight from the most violent and mysterious events in the universe. Black hole mergers, neutron star collisions, maybe even echoes from the Big Bang itself. For the first time, we're not just seeing the universe, we're feeling it. Why should you care? Because this changes the game for science, technology, and even philosophy. Gravitational wave detection allows us to study phenomena that were previously invisible. It's like suddenly gaining a sixth sense. For students, researchers, and curious minds, this opens up new fields of study and new questions to explore. For engineers and technologists, it pushes the boundaries of precision measurement. LIGO can detect changes in distance smaller than a proton. That kind of sensitivity has ripple effects in other industries, from GPS to quantum computing. This also has a profound impact on how we think about our place in the universe. The fact that two black holes collided a billion years ago and we can now detect the faint whisper of that event here on Earth is humbling. It connects us to the cosmos in a visceral way. It reminds us that the universe is not static, it's dynamic, violent, and full of surprises. And it shows that human ingenuity, when paired with patience and collaboration, can unlock secrets that seemed forever out of reach. Societally, this discovery is a testament to the power of long-term investment in science. LIGO took decades to build and refine. It required international cooperation, massive funding, and relentless dedication. And it paid off, not just in data, but in inspiration. It proves that big science projects can yield transformative results. It encourages governments and institutions to support fundamental research, even when the payoff isn't immediate. Listeners should also know that this was just the beginning. Since 2015, dozens of gravitational wave events have been detected. We're now mapping a whole new layer of the universe. And with new observatories like Virgo in Europe and Kagra in Japan joining the effort, the future of gravitational wave astronomy is bright. We're on the cusp of discovering things we didn't even know we were missing. In short, the detection of gravitational waves is one of the most important scientific milestones of our time. It's a story of vision, perseverance, and the thrill of discovery. It's a reminder that the universe still holds mysteries, and that we have the tools and the imagination to uncover them.
All righty. Good. Not too much talking today. It is the quiet corner. I give thanks for y'all. Even though I got a buckshot wine going on. my head. And until next time, we meet at the crossroads.